Junior Tynwald sat last month, and a very interesting, thoughtful, and at times provocative sitting it was too. A motion which considered whether wind turbines should form an essential part of the island's future energy supply was amended by students who expressed concern that the potential damage to biodiversity and habitats should be considered alongside any benefits of using this renewable energy source. Manx Radio recorded the full Junior Tynwald sitting, and we'll hear more from that sitting on next week's agenda and on Perspective this Sunday. First, though, here's the wind turbine debate.
So we now move on to our final item. Item 3, Isle of Man's Green Future. Call on the Honourable Member for Middle, Mr. Price Jones.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise today in strong support of this motion that wind turbines are essential to the future of the Isle of Man's drive to a greener, pollution-free environment. In 2022, this very chamber adopted the Isle of Man Climate Change Plan, a landmark decision that commits us to achieving net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. We also set an interim target, a 35% reduction in emissions by 2030. These are legally binding targets, not aspirational. To meet these targets, one thing is absolutely clear. We must reduce our dependence on fossil fuels right now. Fossil fuels still supply over 80% of our island's electricity needs. This is unsustainable for our planet, our economy, and our future generations. And here's the key point. Wind turbines are currently the only proven large-scale technology available that can reliably replace fossil fuels in our electricity grid and do so within this decade. Why wind power? And why now? The Isle of Man is uniquely well placed to harness the energy of wind. The Crown Estate Offshore Wind Atlas shows that the average offshore wind speeds around our island reached 9.5 metres per second, among the best wind resources in the Irish Sea. Independent studies by Renewable UK demonstrate that wind farms become commercially viable at average wind speeds of just 7 metres per second. We exceed this by a wide margin. Offshore turbines here will not just work, they would thrive, delivering highly productive and cost-effective clean energy. What does this mean for the island in practical terms? An economic analysis commissioned by the Isle of Man government in 2023 estimated that a single 100 megawatt offshore wind farm could provide enough electricity to meet over 50% of our island's current demand. Imagine that, more than half of our electricity from a clean local source, free from international fossil fuel markets. And that's not all. The same study projects the creation of more than 200 local jobs in construction, operation, maintenance. Sorry, just a bit. Operation, maintenance, good skilled jobs that support Manx families and strengthen our local economy. This is an opportunity for economic as well as environmental progress. Now, I know there are concerns about visual impact on our potential effects on tourism. It is right now that we listen carefully to those voices. However, evidence from elsewhere is reassuring. A 2022 report by the Scottish Government and Tourism Board found that offshore wind farms have a negligible or even positive impact on tourism in comparable regions. In fact, visitors increasingly view wind turbines as a visible symbol of region's commitment to a green future, something to be proud of. Finally, we must also consider the cost in action. The Manx Utilities Energy Outlook of 2024 warned that without significant renewable investment, the Isle of Man will remain dangerously exposed to the volatile fossil fuel market, just as we saw during the 2022 and 2023 gas price crisis, which saw island residents' electricity bills surged by more than 30%. In conclusion, Mr. President, Honourable Members, wind turbines are not only optional extra, they are a proven necessary load tool to cut emissions, create green jobs, and protect Manx families from future energy price shocks. Without them, we risk missing our legally binding net zero targets and neglecting the hopes of future generations who will look back on the decisions we make in this chamber. Therefore, I urge the members to support this motion. Wind turbines are essential to Isle of Man's green, pollution-free future. Thank you.
Call the Honourable Member, Mr. Wannabe.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I beg to second. And could I just say that such a valuable contribution by the motion, I respect, and I'm pleased to hear what he has to say. As chair of Manx Utilities, of course, I support the motion. As of 2025, this island imports over 90% of its energy relating to electricity production from the UK. 90%. Either as electricity through the interconnector, gas through the pipeline, or diesel shipped to the Isle of Man. The cost of this energy is very much dominated by global energy markets, fertility, and Northern Europe supply chain security. In terms of generating electricity, which is immune to these global political issues, wind is one of the best natural resources the Isle of Man has. This in turn could help us as an island to be more self-sufficient. Our average wind speeds very much support the consistent generation of power from wind turbines. Wind power also aligns best with when electricity is used on the Isle of Man. We use most of our power throughout the winter when wind speeds are at their highest, and of course the wind can blow right through the night when solar solutions cannot function. Excuse me. Siting a wind farm where the yield from wind is optimized is a sensible and responsible approach. Done properly, onshore wind could offer the lowest cost per unit of all the renewable technologies available today, and in the short term is an effective way to help us decarbonize electricity on the Isle of Man. Onshore wind may also have a role to play in the future. This additional option may yield a number of benefits for our island and our young people and the generations of tomorrow, and is therefore being actively pursued. Without investing in this resource for future generations, we will continue to rely on volatile energy markets and place our decarbonisation burden onto other jurisdictions, or we will need to invest in alternative solutions, which are likely to be more expensive and hence increase energy costs for everyone. This is also contrary to the just transition principle we have all committed to in the Climate Change Act of 2021. Finally, overall, wind offers the best value to all customers of the island, helps us to protect the island from volatile fossil fuel markets, and is a sustainable long-term solution. We believe that wind turbines should play an essential role in our future energy needs. Thank you.
Call on the Honourable Member, Ms. Jenkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise today to propose an amendment to the motion because I believe in an evidence-based, balanced and environmentally responsible policy. The original motion says that wind turbines are essential to the island's future, but this is not supported by evidence. The government's own commissioned report by ARUP, entitled Isle of Man's Future Energy Scenarios, states that the Isle of Man has multiple options to net zero by 2050, and that no single technology is essential. This may include offshore and onshore wind, solar, hydro and interconnector, and other low-carbon technologies. Like many members, I care deeply about the environment, and I'm not against renewable energy, but I think it's dangerous to pretend that there's only one solution, especially when the solution involves huge industrial turbines that could damage wildlife habitats and precious uplands. For these reasons, I propose the following amendment to the motion. That Junior Timwald is of the opinion that in assessing whether wind turbines may contribute to the future of the Isle of Man's drive to a greener environment and independent, and throughout assessment of the implications, impact and benefits for the Isle of Man, for the island's electricity infrastructure and the consumer should be undertaken and published. Mr. President, the island can take climate action without sacrificing our wind spaces, the species that inhabit them, and our sense of identity. We must reject the idea that industrial wind turbines are essential. They are a choice and one we do not have to make if we invest in smarter, fairer and cleaner alternatives. By supporting this amendment, we can commit to a future that is not only green, but just, and one that protects our environment, our place and all the living things that share our island.
Now, Ms. Jenkins, thank you for that. You can exercise a right to have an amendment. Normal procedure would be that the clerk would have this typed up and it would be shared in writing to all the members that see that amendment, which I think is happening as we speak. Well done. So to second that amendment, I believe I'll call on Ms. Thompson.
Thank you. I proudly second this change in the amendment because it's based on the facts, research, and a genuine desire for balanced climate action. I too care about the environment, but I also care about how those decisions are made and how truthful those decisions are presented. Saying something is essential, when it isn't, it can be misleading. There is also the Environmental Protection Bill, which is being consulted on right now. It says very little about protecting upland peatlands or turbine impacts or even the biodiversity loss. This amendment puts these missing protections back in. It says we want a greener future, but one that is fair, inclusive and based on the facts. The amendment says that young people on this island are here to think critically, ask questions and speak up when something isn't right. I would urge the members to support this amendment. Thank you.
So, honourable members, what we're going to do here, given the time, I will repeat what the amendment is stated before we vote. But I just want to check to see if there's anyone else that wish to contribute to this debate. Yes, call on Ms. Weldon.
Thank you. I'd like to disagree with the amendment. The economic ripple effects of wind turbine deployment in rural peripheral areas can be considerable. A 2022 econometric study in the United States found that commercial wind installations significantly boosted local GDP per capita, household income and home value metrics, with the magnitude of benefit rising sharply in communities with greater installed capacity. Such empirical evidence suggests that islands or regions like the Isle of Man, particularly our rural communities, could reap tangible financial rewards from wind development beyond mere energy generation. According to a United Kingdom government survey, in 2011, the use of onshore wind farms in Britain specifically reduced the UK's carbon footprint by 6.31 billion metric tonnes. This is approximately the equivalent to that of the entire city of Leeds. Though wind turbines are sometimes critiqued for their local environmental footprint, empirical assessments are consistently highlighting net benefits. A life cycle evaluation across the European Union concluded that investments of €152 billion in wind power between 2008 and 2020 avoided approximately €135 billion in carbon dioxide costs. Assuming that typical fossil fuel prices, this also reduced €328 billion. Furthermore, such analysis estimates that wind power avoids 690 grams of carbon dioxide per kilowatt per hour generated. This underscores that while minor ecological disruptions may occur locally, the broader environment benefits, especially in carbon avoidance.
Call on Ms. Kane.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Isle of Man is blessed with a natural resource that can provide us with near constant energy, wind. If you are a Manx resident and it is not windy, you're probably on holiday. Therefore, it is rational that we would use a resource that is so abundant to help fuel a less polluting future, where we are self-sufficient and do not rely on imported energy. As a result, the Isle of Man is in a position where we can produce efficient, reliable, year-round energy. This means that we have to make decisions to look to the future, and the future for the Isle of Man will be more secure and more self-sufficient with wind. Inevitably, this means that we have to accept change, and I know this can be difficult. However, an acceptance of onshore and offshore wind will help us harness our natural resources in the future.
Call Mr. Hickey.
While we do have an abundant resource of wind, it should not come at the cost of our habitats, our plantations, our wildlife, and the health and well-being of our farmers and hill and community in the area surrounding Eyre Stain. That is just not right and cannot be justified. That people should be able to damage our habitats and damage our wildlife systems.
Frey, you've already spoken, so sadly you don't have a second opportunity. I call on the Honourable Minister.
Thank you, Mr. President. I only wanted to draw everyone's attention to the fact that the motion does not specify any site, and therefore this is not a site-specific discussion. This is a principle around wind turbines as a technology. Thank you.
Thank you for that. I call on the mover to reply to the debate.
Thank you for everybody's input. I'll take it into account if I ever come back. Thank you.
Now, honourable members, I will now repeat what the amendment is before you vote, and then I'll be calling to vote on the amendment before the motion. So the amendment reads that Junior Timwald is of the opinion that in assessing whether wind turbines may contribute to the future of the Isle of Man's drive to a greener environment, a an independent and thorough assessment of the implications, impact and benefits for the island's electricity infrastructure and the consumer should be undertaken and published. So that is the amendment. So, honourable members, I'm going to ask you to vote on that first. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
All those against, please say no.
No.
Noes have it.
Divide.
Division call. So you do get to vote again. Use your buttons. This is on the amendment.
Actually, I'm sure I saw Mrs. Maltby pressing two buttons, but we'll let it slide today. In the House of Keys, 12 votes for, 11 against.
Legislative Council, 8 votes for, 1 against. Therefore, amendment is carried. Now, we vote on the motion as amended now. So, all those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against, please say no. The ayes have it. The ayes have it. The motion as amended is carried. Well done there.
That was part of the Junior Tynwald sitting which took place last month. I caught up with the Castle Rushen High School pupils after the sitting.
My name's Camilla Perry.
My name's Brisha Jenkins.
My name's Lizzie Thompson.
My name's Eugenie Woodhead.
My name's Luke McMahon.
And collectively, although headed up by Brisha, you defeated the government today. You brought forward an amendment to a motion in relation to the wind turbine debate. So tell us, first of all, the debate was about, effectively stated that wind turbines were essential for the energy mix for the future of the island. What did your amendment say, Brisha?
So my amendment was that we're not against wind farms, just that if there is the right evidence to show that they are needed, and then based environmentally as well, if it's not going to ruin habitats and things like that, then they might be all right. But if they're going to destroy habitats like the Kervai one, where there's hen harriers and buzzards and red-listed birds, then it's not a good idea there.
And obviously, we do need to move away from fossil fuel generated energy. So generally speaking, because I think Castle Rushen High School team worked as a team on this. Presumably, you're not against the principle of using sustainable energy.
No, I think the switch to sustainable energy is very important in the developing world. It's just as to whether we use wind energy or solar energy or water generated energy. That's just the question. I think that we all agree with Brisha in that there should be more research into these areas before the wind turbines move forward in their sort of development.
And should we be looking as well as getting renewable energy, that we should be maybe looking at how much energy we actually use as a society, would you say?
I think it should be kind of even if we're going to look into how we can get more energy with the wind farms, we should also look at how much energy we're actually using currently. And it's more about how can we decrease the energy but make it more effective for the environment without affecting our wildlife as much.
And in terms of the amendment, presumably before you had some discussions beforehand, because it's very obvious that you were all part of this particular amendment. What form did those discussions take?
Well, we met on Tuesday mornings, and I think before we came in, we were all sort of collectively agreeing with Brisha, and we had a plan for if her amendment didn't go through, how we would deal with the original motion. And then I guess, yeah, we're all sort of there with the energy. We need to find a balance between renewable energy sources and keeping and protecting our wildlife, as it's such a big thing on our island.
And John Wallenberg, chair of the Manx Utilities Authority, he seconded the motion and gave an impassioned speech as to why a wind farm was needed. Were you not convinced by Mr. Wallenberg?
I think there's pros and cons in all aspects of the wind farms. And as a collective, we as a school know that there's often, between CEOs and schools as ourselves, we know our environment, we know what we want. It all depends on what we see as a collective, and we just want the best for us. And the fact that he actively went against us as a school, as students, it was a bit disheartening.
Okay, and I suppose the other obvious and final question to all of you, what did you actually get out of the whole session? I mean, start with you, Breesia. I guess the thing you got out of it was you managed to successfully amend the motion, but what did you make of Junior Tynwald?
Yeah, so I thought it was quite good to see what all the ministers' point of views were and other students. So most students actually were for the amendment that we made, apart from Wannaberg and a few others.
You were sat next to the Chief Minister as well during the session. Did he give you any advice?
No.
Okay.
You just laughed.
I don't think there's much time for that.
Fair enough. Yourself then, what did you get out of Junior Tynwald?
I think that it was definitely a way to voice the youth opinion. But more than that, I think it was great to actually be able to directly ask ministers questions and not have to go through sort of almost painstaking emails and sort of diversions to actually getting those questions answered. So I think being able to have those questions directly answered straight after you said them was a really, really good experience.
And yourself, I mean, do you think people of your generation actually get politics, particularly Manx politics?
I think today was quite important to see how people actually care about politics and what's going on currently. And I think just with our amendment going through, with quite a lot of people of the House of Chamber voting for it, shows that people do care and they want a voice and they want to be heard. And the fact we did get our amendment through shows that we will be listened to now, which I think is really important for us.
What switches you on politically?
I just find it quite interesting. I mean, this whole experience has been very interesting. Like last week I was in London and I was lucky enough to sit in on a debate at the Lords. And I think it's really interesting to see how we're different as an island from the UK.
And yourself, are you fancy taking on a role as an MHK in the future?
It's definitely enlightened me, because before now, I don't think I would have ever looked into politics as a occupation or an interest. But now it's definitely opened all of us up, I think, way more than we would have previously thought. And if anyone did think they were going to go into politics, this would be great understanding. You can put it anywhere. And it just bases on understanding.
Those were pupils from Castle Rushen High School who successfully amended the motion on wind turbines. Finally, Lawrence Skelly ably presided over the sitting. Talking to President of Tynwald, Lawrence Skelly, Echtren Tynwald, Lawrence Skelly, and Junior Tynwald never ceases to inspire.
Yeah, good word, actually. Inspire. I think it inspires us as politicians. And what I witnessed today is the young people actually really challenging ministers and members with topics that were topical, relevant, they were articulate, and quite impulsive in certain places. So it was great to see, and quite a bit of passion there too, which is, I think, encouraging for us all.
And you were encouraging of an extraordinary move, of an amendment being moved. You allowed for standing orders to be bent a little to allow that to happen.
Well, it's one of the students and the members there wanted to move an amendment, which is absolutely within their right to do. But there was a minor, shall we say, procedural issue that needed to be presented to all to the other members. But in effect, though, member Breesia Jenkins did a superb job because she won the debate. So the amendment won the debate. So in fairness, that's exactly how motions and debates actually do work. So they learnt a lot and learnt it firsthand.
And always difficult to pick one single person, but effectively your role in this was to pick the outstanding student. There were several outstanding contributions, but in the end it was Conall Molloy that got that.
Did, and you know, Conall was one of those students who contributed to numerous questions, you know, motions, and very wide ranging, quite impulsive, but that at the same time he was also well considered his contributions, clearly had thought them through, even researched them, I suspect. So we felt that his contribution as an outstanding participant was worthy of that. But a lot of honourable mentions there, I think, with Brisha Jenkins there, Jemima Kane, Liam Hickey, all did a superb job, as did many others there. But it was great to see, and it does, I would suggest, that the future looked bright with young people as interested in Manx politics as they are here today.
That was President of Tynwald, Lawrence Skelly, who presided over last month's sitting of Junior Tynwald. So what do you think? Are the students right to be concerned about the impact of wind turbines on local environments? Or do you think any harm caused by the turbines will be substantially overweighed by the economic and environmental benefits? Are you encouraged to note that we do have such passionate, young, eager people to debate the issues of the day? How do we get more young people engaged in Manx politics? Let me know your thoughts on the programme by contacting Phil Gorn at manxradio.com and get in touch if you have any ideas for future shows. Don't forget, this programme is available as a podcast on Manx Radio's website. For now, I'm Phil Gorn. Go to Mayo. Thanks for listening.